This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Good morning and happy Monday. Bill Ryder with you, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Crazy little weekend. NFL draft. Nice job, Bears. Nice job, Bears. Nice job, Jets. Good work. Raiders, I don't know. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Twitter, Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. You can also follow the executive producer of the show, whose voice you'll hear a few times, buy or sell at the end of the program, Tom DiBenedetto, producer underscore Tom on Twitter. To you and me at Andrew Bogish. Andrew will update us. Middle part of the hour, bottom part of the hour, in about 30 minutes and 90 minutes from now. We'll talk a lot of things. We'll hit a lot of stuff. LeBron's all mad. I'm all mad. I'm angry. I'm Roy Kent, Ted Lasso, angry because they changed the rules. And now it affects me. I didn't care before, but now it affects me. Daryl Morey had the better retort, but I'll give you mine as well. Damian Lillard has had enough. And we know this because he said it out loud through Chris Haynes. That's how these things work. We'll get into that reality. I feel bad for Portland, man. I also feel bad for Dame. The guy's had it, and he's tried so hard to not pull what so many of these guys have pulled and force his way out of an organization that he's loyal to. I respect the guy. It's a bummer. It's a long time coming. Giannis and KD went at each other. Good game, man. A lot of NBA chaos we're going to get into. We'll hit some draft stuff. We'll dive into Matt LaFleur. You know, I was thinking this weekend about the things that motivate successful people. And I think it's varied. I do. Had a buddy in town, a closest friend, haven't seen him in 2 years, fully vaccinated. First time we've had someone visit. And he was walking around the part of L.A. We spent a lot of time in L.A. Went to some nice restaurants, hung out. And there's a lot of really impressive people. There's rich people. There's attractive people. There's successful people. There's famous people. You see all these things, right, when you're in L.A. And we were having conversations about success. And I think one of the mistakes people make is that when they try to navigate how to be successful or to understand those who are successful that impact them or interest them, they presume that their own personal motivations must be the motivations of those involved. And it just varies. Some people really, really want to make a bunch of money. All the things I'm going to mention sort of come with massive success, but I think there's one usually motivator. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's about the ego, the drive, right, of just being better than other people, that competitive instinct. Some, I think it's few, love what they do so deeply, are so obsessed with code, with talking about sports on the radio, with selling widgets, with teaching your or my sixth grader, that passion withstands that sort of idyllic transition when you start your career. Everybody loves their job in the beginning or believes that they're going to be the one that loves it. Nobody, very few, start their lives at 22, 23 and say, you know what? I'm going to start a meaningless career for 20 years. It makes me feel less about myself as a man or woman and just kind of deal with it in a sadness that I wash away with gin more often than I should as my wife judges me. That's not usually how it goes. And some people love power, the ability to exert control over their own lives and other people's lives. And there's other psychological realities, too. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I can't remember who it was, and then I ran it by a buddy of mine who played professional sports. Somebody posited a theory about all of these highly successful, because there's all these people in my community that really push their kids to be athletes. Some of them are professional athletes, but normally it's the A-type dads who are the best in the world at insert whatever they do for a living. They live in my neighborhood. They live in like $10 million houses, and they want their kids to be Patrick Mahomes. And a buddy, someone that's sort of part of this community, said, you know, it's a lot of these guys just had dads who left, or dads who were absent, or dads who worked all the time, and they're trying to fill that hole. And I ran up by a buddy of mine who played sports. He goes, there's a lot of that. Like, there's a lot of those guys trying to dominate other men because they didn't have a father figure in their lives. I don't know which thing motivates Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. I know he's not particularly close to his family, but that's true of a lot of people. I know that he's driven on a massive scale. I know he's massively wealthy. I know that he is clearly attracted to celebrity and the benefit. And that's another one I should have thrown out there. I know a guy who works at NFL Network now on that show who was really talented, and he wanted to be famous the time I knew him, and he is. And all the other things came, right? Money, success, respect. Aaron Rodgers, certainly Jeopardy, likes being in the spotlight. I think he loves the game. I do think at that level, you got to love what you do. Although I do think, I say that, that's actually not true. I just fell into the very same cliche I was gonna deride here, and I'm gonna be honest with you. I know a lot of people who love what they do for a living, but a lot of people who say I love football, basketball is what I love. No, man, you love being better at it than every person on the face of the planet, except for like three guys. It's a different, like, I think Kevin Durant loves basketball. I think he loves the game of basketball. I've known some guys at a Durant almost level who don't even play the game having retired. And we'll talk about that privately. Like, I don't like basketball, man. Like, really? Like, yeah. I like my life, though. I'm going to have to go now. My fifth girlfriend of the week is here. Cool, bro. Have a good weekend. And you can learn to wield and enjoy the other things, right? You want to make money, and you realize celebrity is nice, or success is nice, or respect is nice, or power is nice. And that's what Aaron Rodgers is wielding right now. What Aaron Rodgers is doing in this moment is not about football, primarily, I don't think. It's not about trying to fill some hole left behind by insert whatever psychological garbage I could try to make up as an analogy here, even if that's a thing. I don't know Aaron Rodgers at all, so no idea. That guy might be the most content, happy, well-put-together guy on the face of the earth. What he's doing in his professional life is he is wielding power against people that he believes publicly humiliated him. And I don't think it's a character flaw. This is not a character assassination. I was thinking about this all weekend in the context of Aaron Rodgers, who, as you know, not only doesn't want to be in Green Bay, Wisconsin, but has let it be known, and let it be known to people like Peter King, right? It's not like Phil Beiter over in Dubuque, Iowa is reporting this is the Dubuque Telegraph Herald. No disrespect to the Telegraph Herald. These are legit connected people. These are the people you go to when you want to send a message of power. Aaron Rodgers wants out. Aaron Rodgers is willing to retire. Aaron Rodgers has the same agent that Carson Palmer had when he pulled the same move with the Bengals. Aaron Rodgers has named general manager Brian Gutekunst as someone who, if he's there, Aaron Rodgers will not be. Aaron Rodgers is going to win. And it's largely because, and again, it's not a character flaw. I think all of us have experienced in our work lives, whether we've been successful or not, and I have been successful and I have been a massive failure in my own career. And the final conclusion, I guess, is to be determined, right? As it is with most of our careers. But in all of those situations, all I've wanted as I've gotten older is the ability to have some control over the work that I do. And I don't think that I'm unique to that. I don't think you have to be a radio host or a writer or a TV person for that to be true. I mean, I was a newspaper writer for a long time. I was very anonymous in what I wrote, was proud of what I did, and all I wanted was to, you know, and that's a more honest and candid way of saying you want to work for good people, right? You don't want people to exert control over something that you have to do day in, day out to feed your family. And that, in my case, and maybe yours, I hope yours, that you also happen to really enjoy. Aaron Rodgers is exerting power over the Packers. I think he's going to leave. I think he's angry. But you can do it a different way. Think about what he did. One of my favorite books is The Count of Monte Cristo, and you should read it. It's amazing. This is an Eben Dantes thing. This is Aaron Rodgers, at least in his own mind's eye, a year ago, being utterly humiliated and disrespected, right? He's sitting there. He's hanging out. He's living his life. It's the NFL draft. He's hoping it's a wide receiver, 2020 draft. You know, maybe it's a tight end. Maybe these guys are going to pull one of those moves and get another cornerback, and they'll draft a receiver in the third round. He'll be put out. And then the name Jordan Love gets announced. And Aaron Rodgers didn't get any notice. Now, you can say you don't have to give notice. You're the GM. This isn't a fairy tale. We're not playing marbles out back. This is cutthroat, multi-million dollar stuff. Take your tiddlywinks down to the school gym. This is the National Football League. And Aaron Rodgers was disrespected. And I think he concocted a plan. I do. I think he Edmond Dantes this thing. He came back. He was utterly focused. He'd had a good year the year before, right? What was like 26 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But this feeling from Packers fans too, and so certainly from management, he's being a little safe. He's not bold. He's excellent without being dangerous. He's reliable without being transcendent. He's old. He's great and he's old, and we got to have a plan. And we're not even going to tell him because we run the show. I'm the GM. In football, you don't give in to the divas. You do the ones that can crush you. And Aaron Rodgers came up with a plan. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do everything they say I can't do. I'm going to be focused. I'm going to win the bleeping MVP. And then when they don't see it coming, I'm going to pull the ripcord. He is publicly humiliating his general manager on purpose. And I got to be honest, kind of here for it. And I don't know Brian Gutekunst. Maybe he's a great guy. Maybe he's a great boss. Maybe he's one of the two. I don't know. What I do know is, having worked for bosses who have publicly humiliated colleagues and me, I've always heard of joy when they've got theirs. I just have. Is Aaron Rodgers a good guy? I'm not sure. But I rooted for Tony Soprano for 8 freaking seasons or whatever it was. I'm in. I'm here for this. I think Aaron Rodgers, and so does Peter King, by the way, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to play for a team in week one who are not the Denver Broncos. I think there's a steely-eyed reserve. I think there's an ability to shut off that emotional switch that you have to maybe be to be this level of cutthroat that this organization didn't understand. And to prove it, I want to play a clip that's going to sound a lot like the same clip we played from the Packers GM last week. It's the same message, only you can hear even more in this clip. And I'm not even making fun of the guy when I say it sounds like, and I'm going to set this up. It sounds like you're about to hear something where it sounds like he's about to be crying. And by the way, I'm an emotional guy. If you ever flown next to me on an airplane, you would like look over and be like, why is he crying at the Aflac commercial? I don't know either. Happens in airplanes. I'm not judging him. But it's not exactly a good look, right? This guy sounds like he just came from the restroom, or like he got sick. He's got a case of the Aaron Rodgers, what was like Moderna vaccine number 3 is like equal to Aaron Rodgers-ism when he comes at you. Here's the Packers GM just looking for a life raft as reporters just eye him and probably smile because it's a great story.
Aaron hasn't said anything like that to me and certainly hasn't said anything publicly, so I think it's a little unfair to kind of, you know, put that on him. But, you know, listen, you certainly don't like to hear those things, but at the same time, it's kind of part of the gig in the National Football League. So, but no, nothing's been communicated directly to me.
It's not fair to Aaron. Aaron, I'm your best friend. I love you. Aaron Rodgers understood something that his GM didn't. And that was, man, if I just wait a little bit, which is the NFL draft, it'll be a time where this poor SOB will have to go in front of the media every day for a few days in a row. Having covered the National Football League back in the day as a newspaper guy on and off, those guys never have to talk to you. Ever. Ever. Coach, can't avoid it once a week. Really twice a week. Media availability day, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then after the game, right? Star quarterback, same exact deal. Now, they can choose not to bring him out theoretically during media availability week, or they can sort of do it really quickly, but he's going to be available in the locker room or at the podium Sunday after the game, Monday, you know, to Monday night game after the game. GM can hide, man. GM almost is like the owner in that respect. Aaron Rodgers knows how the game works, knows how the media works, knows how power works. So put aside what motivates Aaron Rodgers, what psychological factors, what needs, what desires, what hopes and joys and decencies are the cutthroat. That ship sailed a year ago. Now, Green Bay Packers, you're in a game that's about power. Aaron Rodgers feels like you took it from him, and he's going to take it back, even if he breaks your organization. That's what Tom Brady did. A much less degree of impact and greatness. It's what Carson Palmer did. It's what guys do when they feel like not. It's a combination of I don't trust these guys to win, and then I believe they publicly humiliated me. It doesn't matter if you actually intended to publicly humiliate this person. It doesn't matter even if you didn't humiliate him. Not to pick on wives, because this applies to husbands, but I'm a dude and I'm married to a woman. I'm married to my wife. I'm going to use this analogy. Lori gets mad at me. She's like, why is it always the men or the good guys? Because it's my show, baby. Welcome to the darkness. Have you ever like gotten in a fight with your wife at a restaurant where you don't think you did anything, but she's upset and she's storming out and she's leaving or whatever's going on, or she's just giving you that look and even the waiter's like, I'll give you guys a minute. The waiter's trying to upsell you on the expensive bread, but even he leaves? It doesn't matter if I didn't mean it that way. The words have been spoken. They've been interpreted. And that's the reality I live in. That's where the Packers are. So it's very simple. It's very simple. If you're the president of the Green Bay Packers, Mr. Murphy, whose daughter randomly I know. She's very sweet. She rides horses. Weird. Here's the deal. Either you ride it through with the GM who you hired, who thought Jordan Love was a good idea and then didn't get a receiver for Aaron Rodgers till what, the third round this year. And that, you can do that. And then you just have to white knuckle this thing and see where the waves take you. And if you capsize, you capsize. And if you come up for air without Aaron Rodgers, that's life. Or right now, like, I know you like the show. Appreciate that. Turn it off. Call Aaron Rodgers' agent. Tell him to get Aaron on the phone. He'll say no. You'll have to wait. It'll be nerve-wracking. Then you'll communicate to the agent because he's going to play power games with you too. Tell Aaron, Brian's gone. If he'll stay, I need to know by the end of the day. And then when Aaron calls you himself, hey, man, what's up? I talked to the agent. Heard you wanted to visit. Sorry, I was having my toes waxed. So what is something I'll consider for 500, right? Whatever the response is, you call Brian back and you fire. It's not about right and wrong anymore. It's not about what motivates this guy. That ship has sailed. It's about power. And that's where you are. He has it. You guys do not. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. If you've got the right, I know he's got his list. He wants to go to the Raiders, the Niners, or the Broncos. You want to make the case for your team, right? Even though he's not going to go there. All right. It's a Monday. Let's go. Let's go, baby. Let's get into it. Or if you want to give some suggestions to A-Rod, 855-212-4CBS. We'll talk a little more of this drama, and I'll try to slip in a little Giannis KD yapping at each other because it was great theater next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Here we go. We're in May. It's Monday. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's hang out. 855-212-4CBS. Your take, your read, your desired or suggested destination for Aaron Rodgers. Man, when's the last time a guy this talented was available? Oh, that's right, Tom Brady. What are people doing? Arrogance can blind you. Aaron Rodgers is the diva. Tom Brady's the diva. How about the Mensa candidates? How about the knuckleheads letting these guys go and or about to be in the category of those who let them go? Come on. Be better. 855-212-4CBS. Let's take some phone calls. Let's jump around. Let's go to Tucson. Keith, what up, buddy? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, sir?
Good, man. I'm shaking.
I'm going to go the opposite way of why I'm glad the Niners did not take Aaron Rodgers. And like I told your buddy over there, I told you last week, Trey Lance. I think Kyle Shanahan in that Super Bowl against the Chiefs had his midlife crisis. He wanted a Jeep all his years, and all of a sudden he sat there and watched a Ferrari work and said, I want one of those. So I think if you'd have traded your pick, and 9 times out of 10 you'd have had to give up more than just that third round, that number three pick, I think you'd have been even deeper in the hole than you were when you went to the number three pick. And it's not guaranteed. Anybody thinks that Aaron Rodgers going to the Niners guaranteed them a Super Bowl is out of their mind. That's not how it worked. It takes a lot other than just talent to win a Super Bowl. There's luck. There's your opponent. It's just so many things. But I think now we've got a quarterback that if he works him right and coaches him upright, I think we're good for a long time. Plus the salary cap. You bring in Aaron Rodgers, that money hit. You're getting Trey Lance now on rookie deal. That's big because now you keep those parts around him.
I hear you, Keith. On every level, I hear you. But I'm taking Aaron Rodgers. I could be wrong. I didn't know Patrick Mahomes was going to be Patrick Mahomes. So I understand that it's out there. But I do know that Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. That is a known quantity for me. The other thing is, and you saw this with Tom Brady, it's such a perfect comp. Look at the motivation that comes with being that level of a player at that age and feeling disrespected by the organization you spent your career with. You're going to get the best possible version of Aaron Rodgers. You figure out the tax hit, and Aaron Rodgers will restructure his contract. Trust me. For the Niners, for the Raiders, for the Broncos, wherever he goes, in a way that makes it work. He's going to get paid. He's going to get his, but he's going to want to win one or two Super Bowls that he can shove down the Packers' faces. It is amazing the arrogance and the ineptitude that comes with taking things for granted. Wasn't a Brett Favre fan in terms of how he conducted himself at the end, right? But the only reason we can talk about the Packers getting the best of Favre, sort of, is because Aaron Rodgers was there. You have a generational quarterback for multi-generations. I mean, going back to the 90s, pretty easy to take it for granted. 855-212-4CBS. Ben and Cali, out here on the West Coast. What's up, brother? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
I think most people broadcasting are way, 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 way off on the controversy. Detailed article in Bleacher Report indicates that the beef with Aaron Rodgers goes all the way back to Mike McCarthy picking him as a better quarterback, or picking Alex Smith as a better quarterback over Aaron Rodgers. And Greg Jennings in 2013 unloaded about Aaron Rodgers because of his insulting manner and everything. So the problem is systemic, and if Rodgers wants to quit, fine, because pretty much everyone should understand that his best chance of winning a Super Bowl is with the Green Bay Packers.
I think every point you made is right, and the conclusion respectfully is wrong, and here's why. I'm not making the argument then Aaron Rodgers should win Mr. Likeability. I'm not even weighing in on or assessing whether Aaron Rodgers is a guy I'd want to be friends with, have a beer with. I could make that assessment, but I'm not going to. I know where I'd go, but it doesn't matter. And I don't have enough information to be sure. Every point you made is just enough information to know the guy's difficult, the guy's ornery, the guy wants what he wants, the guy feels every slight. Yeah. Welcome to successful people. 40 or 30% of the time. I have this debate. My life has become very weird because I'm a super normal guy, very anonymous person from the Midwest who lives on the West Coast now and knows a bunch of famous people because that's who live here. And I work in sports. And I know a lot. I have a lot of friends who have friends is not true. I have colleagues who have transitioned, have become incredibly famous and incredibly rich. And not all of them, but like one out of three become just the worst people you'd ever want to meet. Like I've had beers with these people. And I always have conversations with my buddies back home and friends of mine who are like me, you know, employed, but not overwhelmingly successful to the point we've been tempted with whatever fruits come with that level of fame and success. Is it the person becoming who they were, right? Or is it the natural conclusion a certain percentage of the time that success, you know, what is it? Power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And maybe that's absolutely true with fame and wealth as well. I don't know. I just don't think it matters. If you have somebody that's so important to what you do that they've shown these signs over the years, deal with it. Do you know how many employees in this country swallow their pride with their bosses? It's a daily reality for most of us with most of our bosses. and for all of us at some point with some of our bosses. So I got to listen to bosses be like, it's really hard to be to feel less than and to not have to do stuff I don't want and to have to this humility. I don't care. Welcome to life, bro. I have great bosses here at CBS Sports Radio, which is good because if I didn't, I'd probably say so and then I wouldn't be at CBS Sports Radio, which is part of the reason I don't work some of the places I've worked. I've had some terrible bosses. I worked for this guy back in the Midwest in a newspaper. I mean, subtract from the sum of all human joy. In my life, he did. If there were a ledger, I'd be like in the negatives. Guess what he didn't care about? My feelings. He didn't care. Welcome to reality, man. I got Greg Jennings told us that A-Rod's difficult. Aaron Rodgers mad at Mike McCarthy for some little slight. A-Rod's difficult. Cool. He can throw a football better than almost every person on earth. That's the deal. That's the assessment. He doesn't have to be a good guy. I have no idea if he is. He doesn't have to be. I wish he would be. This is why people are getting on LeBron. It drives me. LeBron's a really good person. Pretty good teammate. Doesn't get his coaches fired even when he hates them, right? Doesn't necessarily play for them very effectively or isn't very nice to them. But at the level of his power, he doesn't exert it the way that he could. It's not how everybody operates. I have the wrong analogy. It's not even like the boss. Aaron Rodgers is the boss, and these morons didn't realize it. And now he's acting like it. Bosses can be jerks. Welcome to reality. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to my wife's home state. It's Ohio. Mark, what up, buddy? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Bill. Hey, I was just making a comparison between the way the Steelers treated Ben Roethlisberger, supporting him with all these targets, all these weapons through the years, to the way the Green Bay Packers have supported Aaron Rodgers. I think if you got a Ferrari, you got to make sure it's got good tires. You invest in your strength, and that's what the Green Bay Packers didn't do.
Dude, great point. And I mean, Big Ben, talk about unlikable. I don't have to pretend, I don't have to hedge there. I do not like Ben Roethlisberger. I want Roethlisberger to play 17 games and throw 80 interceptions. I want it to be a spectacle. And they still did the right thing. They surrounded him with talent and opportunity. You're absolutely right. I'll make one last point that I think we all can relate to, then we'll get to Mr. Bogish, and we'll hit a little hoops. Although, if you want to keep giving your A-Rod perspectives, 855-212-4CBS. A lot going on here, right? Even moderately talented or not talented people who think they're talented, right? People who I would have been. No one likes to be set up to fail. Nobody. Doesn't matter the money you make. Doesn't matter the success you've had or not. Doesn't matter where you are in your career or what you do for a living. The sense that you have been presented with failure by the people whose job it is to help you succeed is infuriating. It's infuriating. And I have, like you probably have, certainly experienced that. And I've experienced it from really good people, friends of mine, people I care about. I know their family, but they're just bad at their jobs, or at least bad at their jobs as it relates to not putting me in a position where I fail. And I wrestle with those frustrations back in the day. Can't even imagine if you're Aaron Rodgers. And every fiber of these guys' being is about winning. You don't get there without being manic about winning, obsessive about victory. Whatever you are in your personal life, when you go to work, right? When you clock in, you're a killer. You're an assassin. You're a gladiator. And to your point, great point on Ohio. Aaron Rodgers has not been put in a situation to be successful. What is the common ingredient of every single Packers team that's made a run? It's Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. I mean, that Rodgers team that won the Super Bowl actually had a great defense. But we live in a different era, man. Give him weapons. Look at what Patrick. I'm sure this is part of it too. Yeah, is Patrick Mahomes going to be the best QB of all time? We'll see. Does he have a Super Bowl as many as Aaron Rodgers? He does. Has he already won an MVP? He has. Can you imagine if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're like, the Chiefs have given this dude this many weapons 3 years into his career? Patrick Mahomes has had more offensive weapons in his brief career than Aaron Rodgers has had in the entirety of his time in Green Bay. And the Chiefs followed a model of we don't care about defense. That's the model they follow. We don't care. We're gonna draft receivers. We're gonna draft running backs. We don't really need a running back. Let's draft a running back in the first round. Our defense sucks. Let's see if we can just be sort of bad. It's a festering pile of garbage. Let's see if we can just get it to like a general state of litter. But offense is our focus. Aaron Rodgers has got to be sitting in Green Bay thinking, look at this. And then he sees Tom Brady. If you're Aaron Rodgers and you think the universe revolves around you, or you just are paying attention, think about what the universe is telling you. Just put yourself in Aaron Rodgers' shoes. You look at Mahomes, like, that's a lot of weapons and no defense. They're doing good. Tom Brady, like, leaves. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, you look at Brady and you think, yeah, he's great, he's amazing, but I'm better. Aaron Rodgers thinks he's a better quarterback than Tom Brady. I'm not saying that he is. I'm saying he thinks that he is. And he's like, oh, this dude left. He didn't need Belichick at all. Oh, my God. He didn't even need the Patriots. That's why he's like, the Raiders, cool, whatever. It's in Vegas. I can fly to do Jeopardy. My fiance can do her movies. I don't care. Chucky's going to give me whatever the hell I want because he's not an idiot. He might be bad at the draft and sort of coaching, but he's smart enough to be like, you do you. I'm going to get my $100 million, go over to the win. You do you. Quarterback club, I love you. See ya. That's it. That's all that he wants. All right, let's move on. 855-212-4CBS, though, if you want to weigh in. Andrew, forgot your middle name. Andrew, hold on. It's Arm. No, it's Arb, because your last name's not Mickenbaus. Andrew Richard Bogish. Andrew Ryan Bogish. There it is. Hell yeah, Arb. I got you.
Buzzer, too, and thank God it's not Richard. What a bad job on my parents.
You're such an Aaron Rodgers. You're going to force your way out. You're like, that's it. Doing updates at the fan. I'm out. Get me out of here. Can't work with this guy.
Get new parents.
I'm out. I want a new host to work with and new parents. And the boss be like, I don't think I can. I can't handle the parents part. I don't. What's their phone numbers?
But he would get me a new host. I'd be one for two in my demands. Is that what you're saying?
I think you might be two for two. Oh yeah, you got a new host. Oh yeah, you would have a new host.
I'll take that power.
They'd have to work. You would, huh? Do I have a buzzer? I don't have one. What's going on, Bogish? What's going on out there?
Do you want to hear something very quickly? I finished Thor. We finished Thor this weekend. We actually did finish it.
Why set up disappointment for myself? But you finished the first
Smart.
One.
The first one, yes.
How'd you like it?
It was good. I mean, I could really boil down the review to Natalie Portman is in it, which is a pretty hefty, you know, impactful sentence. That's kind of what only I need. But yeah, I mean, like, I didn't love comic books growing up, and I didn't love superheroes growing up, so this one is probably a little more superhero-y than other ones that I've seen so far. But it was entertaining.
Would you say that they, you know, they really hammered any of the themes?
I would say that.
Don't you dare sell that, Tom. Don't you dare sell that. Would you like very quickly?
It's a little on the nose.
It's a lot on the nose. Would you like to hear a borderline creepy Natalie Portman story that applies to me?
Always.
So, when I worked at the Democrat Gazette in Little Rock, Arkansas, a guy who I'm friends with went and worked there who was a Harvard student, and he had been at, like, the computer lab. Remember when there was a computer lab? And Natalie Portman sat down next to him because she went to Harvard while she was famous, and he somehow, like, looked at her screen and got her phone number and her email address and gave it to me. And I was single. He's like, why, Michael, why are you giving this to me? He's like, you should just ask her out. I'm like, hey, it's Bill from Arkansas. But I had it for like 3 years, my wallet. And every now and then I'd be like looking for a receipt to expense. Like, oh, there's Natalie Portman's contact information. I didn't do it. You know, and I dated Lori shortly thereafter and before, if we're being completely honest. There's like a little window in there. By short, I mean very. But yeah, like, and my buddy, I'm just like, dude, this is so creepy. He's like, okay, don't do it then. Like, but why are you giving it to me? He's like, to see if you'll do it. I'm like, this is not our contact. He goes, it's our contact info. He's just like testing me. I didn't use it. Natalie, you're welcome.
That is on the short list of impossible conversation starters. I mean, there is no way to say hello to her without admitting to a crime, basically. So I like that you could not have done that.
I definitely thought about how does it work? Like, hey, Natalie, it's Bill. It's nice to meet you at that party the other day. I guess it's awkward, but like, I guess that's you just pretend. You hope she went to a party. Sorry, it's been so long.
You put it on her.
Actually lost your number, found it in my couch. Anyway, I felt like we really connected. Do you want to marry me? that's the approach.
You got to be like, you gave me the number, and also you begged me to call, so now I'm calling because you told me to do this. So I think we had chemistry too, so let's go out.
Right. I broke up with the girl that I was seeing. That's why it's been so long. And I appreciate you didn't want me to even worry about that. But you know, didn't work out.
There you go.
She became a nun.
Totally out of the picture.
Out of the picture. She with God, bro. It's cool. Cool. All right.
All right. All right. On that note, a fairly wild finish to Sunday on the diamond. The Mets scoring 6 in the 8th for an 8-4 lead in Philly. Those Phils then fall. They had a tying 3-run homer bottom 9 from Rhys Hoskins, but replay showed it never cleared the right field fence, so it became a 2-run double. Bryce Harper then K'd for an 8-7 Met escape. Philly manager Joe Girardi, not a fan of the changed call.
I've said all along, the whole idea of replay is to get calls right. It's frustrating because we thought we tied it up, and it's kind of like, you know.
The Mets now lead the NL East at 11-11. The Nats are 12-12, then the Phils at 13-15. The Lakers and Blazers have identical records this morning. LA losing at home to the Raptors last night, 121-114, after Portland won in Boston, 129-119. The Lakers on the tiebreaker, so they're safely in sixth right now. The Blazers seventh, which would mean that play in tourney. The Celtics, meanwhile, seventh in the East after that loss, a game behind the Heat, who won in Charlotte, 121-111. The Sixers winning in OT in San Antonio, 113-111, on Ben Simmons put back at the buzzer. The Knicks smoked the Rockets, 122-97, and the Mavs lost to the Kings, 111-99. Luka, 30 points. Before getting ejected, he was asked what got him tech number 2.
No, but I guess because I was, when it was timeout, I threw the ball, to the basket. I guess it was because of that, but you get a tag for that, you know, that's...
Luka then promised to not get another, which would trigger a one-game suspension. The Atlanta Falcons are not expected to pick up their fifth-year option on tight end Hayden Hurst, so he'll be a free agent after the coming season. This, of course, on the heels of drafting Kyle Pitts. The deadline for these decisions is today. Northwestern has promoted Mike Polisky to athletic director, replacing Jim Phillips, who is the ACC's new commissioner. Polisky has been the school's deputy AD for external affairs since 2010. Kyle Busch won the NASCAR Cup race at Kansas Speedway. That is 17 consecutive seasons with a victory for him, tying the second longest streak in NASCAR history. And MLS last night, Seattle down the LA Galaxy 3-0. Colorado, a 1-0 win at Vancouver. Bill, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Bogish. Let's talk some hoops. Giannis versus Kevin Durant and what it might be a precursor for come the playoffs next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Oh, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Thanks for hanging out. Drive excellence makes you edgy, man. Makes you angry sometimes. Those are forces you have to learn to harness. LeBron James has been really vocal and thoughtful and interesting about that. LeBron, man, he's been so instructive on so many things. The thing that was his biggest weakness to his, you know, brand or his Q rating or whatever garbage you want to call it early in his career is the thing that I think makes him the most interesting athlete I've ever covered, and that is his candor, to his detriment in the beginning and I think to his benefit now, because it's humanizing. But the reality is the forces that come with success and fame and like that really rare and the rarefied air, that nexus of people like LeBron or KD or Giannis, you get mad, man. That there's a passion you have to find a way to control. And I've talked a lot about Kevin Durant, made fun of him and all that stuff. But KD's emotions come from that same place. They spill out, right? It's like a superhero who can't control their powers. Doesn't make it okay. Doesn't mean you should be having burner accounts. I don't know why I'm so offended by it. I just am. But there was some anger and some frustration between KD and Giannis, and I love it. I'm here for it. Because the other reality is, when LeBron goes away, and or his ankle or his age, right, ankle in the short-term age and the nearish, I think, maybe, question mark term, make him not a sure thing, there's not just going to be a battle for the NBA in terms of supremacy for teams and championships. There's going to be a battle for who's the best player on earth. Who's the next generation guy? Who's the next big thing? Kevin Durant wants it to be him. Giannis wants it to be him. By the way, 15 other guys think it's going to be them. This is the future of the league. If it can have a level of relevance that rises above wherever it is now, I think it can. It's a great game yesterday. And there are some telltale signs, I think, to what's to come and some that aren't telltale. I think the inability to guard Giannis, and I know Giannis is unguardable to a degree, but nonetheless, I think it speaks to the Nets' biggest weakness. So they can hit a bunch of shots. Can they stop great teams and great players? No. Can they outscore everybody? I don't know, man. I've seen Kyrie and Durant hit miss so many big shots and be so inefficient, and say nothing of Harden. See where he's at physically. But on the other side, do I really think that the Bucks' secret sauce is that Giannis is going to hit a bunch of jump shots? No, I don't. I do not. Two great teams with huge question marks. And by the way, I'll say this about Kevin Durant. You'll hear this here. He was yapping at Giannis. They got into it. It was a high-fought, hard-fought game. Bucks get the win over the Nets. Kind of cut the lead a little bit. But KD gave some respect afterwards. I respect it. Talking about, you know what? We kind of got to tip our cap.
I think it's a case of hitting a cold shooting streak. I mean, yeah, I give them credit. They're a long athletic team. But I think for the most part, a lot of our turnovers were self-inflicted. And they got them out in transition. They got confidence shooting the ball tonight. You got to give them some respect. Coming out shooting the ball the way they did, they got, you know, we made it easier for them by giving them turnovers.
Kevin Durant, man, what an interesting guy. What a complicated dude. I come back to the same plays of the Nets that I always come back with. Because I don't think that game tells me that the Bucks are going to beat the Nets. I think it's just the same thing that they can. Kevin Durant's one of these interesting guys. I've covered so many of his games where he hits some huge fourth quarter shots, right? Pressure's on. The air's electric. Feels like the molecules have changed, recalibrated themselves to something intense. You can feel it through your TV if you're doing it that way. And Durant's got like two guys on him. His teammates look a little timid, or he thinks they do if it's the Warriors and they're not timid. And he takes three giant steps behind that three-point line at the top of the arc and just buries a clutch three. And everyone says, understandably in a vacuum, oh my God, he's unbeatable. He's the best. And they forget that he went 1 of 7 in the third quarter and just like shot his team out of it. We're like, no, man, that guy in the corner can't hit corner threes. I'm not passing the ball to Steph Curry. I got this. Which version? The guy that's got to save the team from himself or the guy that is the best version of himself and propels the team? I don't know. There was a huge play where KD got stuffed by Giannis. And it was like in that moment, it was, this is how you beat the Nets. And but the ball bounced off the rejection to Kyrie, who hit I am jumping up sideways because that's a thing, three-point shot that went in. And that's how you can't beat the Nets. They're going to be so much fun to watch play. It's not that I think that they can't win the way that I did the Lob City Clippers, or frankly, the Heat the first year I covered them. It's that I think they can lose in ways people aren't expecting. I think the range of outcomes is incredibly, incredibly wide. The Nets are this team. Think the Nets, if they were the Bears of this past year, and the Bucks of this past year. Massive upside. In some ways, you could just say the Bucks of this past year, but the Bucks won the whole thing, so I want to stretch a little bit. I don't think people understand the level of dysfunction that is possible with that Nets team, the level of injury that is possible, where all of a sudden you're rolling out a Chicago Bears-esque team. They're not that good. Harden goes down for the playoffs, right, or is unreliable for the first couple weeks physically, and KD gets hurt, which has happened, or Kyrie. They're not. Kyrie Irving with a bunch of guys is not a very good team. James Harden with a bunch of guys is the Houston Rockets. Not a good, very good team. The one that he forced his way out of. It's going to be interesting. I think I take the Bucks over the Nets in a series if I had to put money on it. But the truth is I wouldn't put money on it. That's a pass. It is a straight pass. I mean, maybe if I'm getting a number that's 2-1 or better. But you're not getting plus 200 the Bucks against the Nets. You're just not. You're probably getting plus 105. It's probably a slight Nets favorite. I think we're going to find out. It just feels like the universe is going to get them there together. Man, I haven't even gotten into Damian Lillard yet. The Knicks don't deserve him, but the thing is, you deserve what you can go get. Eat what you kill. Leon Rose has changed that organization. We'll get into that. I do want to, I just said all a bunch of nice things about LeBron. Now I want to like balance the scales. LeBron's got to stop with these crocodile tears. Like, I'm over it. Why stars better accept the way the NBA playoff format works next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Good morning, Bill Ryder with you. What is going on? Thank you for hanging out. A lot happened in the world. And not just for angry Aaron Rodgers. Who's angrier, Aaron Rodgers or the IKEA guy? I don't know either. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. If you have not seen Angry IKEA Guy 100 times like I have, I let my son watch it. He's 8. And I came in the other day and he was just, it was on. I'm like, Lori, how long? He's been watching it for an hour. My son's been sending me videos literally where he's like, where does it stop, Diane? I mean, just nonstop. Utterly and totally awesome. We hit Aaron Rodgers earlier. We'll get back to it later. We'll keep you updated. There's some news. The power play. The massive power play from the Packers quarterback. There are some things you can control for that level of talent, like getting your GM fired. I think it's going to go that way. That's the other thing that's really interesting. I want to talk LeBron, but I don't want to digress too much. What is Aaron Rodgers' actual goal? Is it A, to get Gutekunst fired and just to be there? Is it B, to move on? Or is it C, both? Which would be a real a-hole move to pull off. Doesn't mean he won't try to do it. Is it petty? Sure. Whatever. He's Aaron Rodgers. It's a power game. It's what it is. You can do those things. Here's what you can't do. Aaron Rodgers can't throw a fit and be like, I want an extra playoff team. I don't want, I'm not playing if it's 17 games. You're out, bro. Roger Goodell, on his private course, I just read that he's a member of, out here with like 1,000 members, with his big cigar in his mouth as he's like hitting an approach shot. It's like, I tell him I don't care. Also, I'm rich. Also, that's a par. LeBron James, my dude, you can do a lot. You can do a lot of things. But make demands about the way that the NBA is structured is not one of them. If you miss this, Mr. LeBron's team is an absolute and total skid. They've lost, 6 out of 7? Flirting with the play-in. They're tied, actually, with the Portland Trailblazers, but they have the tiebreaker. But if the Portland wins their next, in fact, Portland and the Lakers play each other in a couple games, the Lakers could be in the play-in situation. And LeBron James was all mad. And there's some context here. Anthony Davis is playing like looks for official turn. Hot garbage right now. Does not look good. Is not playing well since returning. It's a 6-game sample size. 16.5 points per game. Not quite 7 rebounds. He's shooting 39% from the field. And he's hitting a Russell Westbrook-like 17.5% from the three-point line, which is mean of me to say, but also 100% accurate. It just needs to be said sometimes. Just slipped in. I like Russ, too, but just needs to be slipped in there. And I use the term Humpty Dumpty a lot, but I think Anthony Davis is the Humpty Dumpty of the NBA. He breaks, and he's hard to put back together again, and there's a lot of bustle, but not a lot of certainty it's going to work. LeBron's ankle is clearly not okay. I get all that frustration, but, dude, this is not the stuff that you should be saying at the end of a season when every owner, including Jeannie Buss, voted unanimously for this play-in situation.
Well, it doesn't matter at the end of the day if I'm not, 100%, close to 100%. It don't matter, where we land, So, that's my mindset. And, if this happens to we end up at 6th or 5th or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired. But whatever.
Let me just say this real quick. I know it's an expression. I use some expressions that I don't want you to take literally. I got it. Like, I don't actually think a lot of these athletes are actual bums. Like, live other than Jay Cutler, I do think he is. But they should be fired. The person who came up with the idea should be called in by Adam Silver, relieved of his or her duties, have to go home and explain to their wife or husband, little Johnny can't go to the private high school or to college anymore, right? And we're moving out. Do your parents, would they let us live in their basement in Sioux City? That's the move. That's what you want. How about you just deal with the reality as it is? I love the play-in situation. I didn't think I would. And I'm going to quote Daryl Morey's response. I love Morey trolling LeBron, dude. The guy that basically severed the NBA's financial investment in China, which I don't want to get the whole moralistic thing, but if you're going to call him and be like, why does the NBA do business with China? That's fine. You can have that view if you have it of every corporation in America and you stop buying all the things you're spending your money on. You can do it. Like, you're that guy or gal. I don't buy Nike. I don't buy iPhones. I basically have reduced my consumption to 7% of what's available, you know, out in the world. God bless you. Good for you. Here's Daryl Morey's response to LeBron. I can't believe the NBA hastily implemented a change that makes games more meaningful. Hell yeah. I think it's something like every single NBA team, except for, I think it's five or six, are still mathematically able to make the postseason in some form. Think about that. Think out, LeBron, play better, man. That's the deal. And here's the other thing. It's five teams, Tom is telling me. And again, the Lakers won a championship. It worked out. It's not a criticism, but it is in reality. When you go and you get Anthony Davis, right? When you basically cheat code the NBA, that's one thing that I don't think the Lakers get criticized enough for, including by me. They went out and just like got Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis fired his agent, got LeBron's buddy, Rich Paul, and then forced his way to play with LeBron James. But it's not free. You got to give up Alonzo Ball and a Brandon Ingram and other players, Josh Hart. So yeah, there's no depth. Welcome to the world that you have wrought. Look into the seeds that you have sowed. I love it. It's amazing for the association. The Suns and the Sixers took over the number one seed yesterday. They weren't the number one seed. The day happened, they're the top seed. And remember, the number one seed is potentially is going to have a real, real easy run. If some rando team like the Wizards, right? It could be the Wizards. Just gets on a roll. The Bucks went over the Nets that we've talked about, tighten that race atop the East. Here's an amazing fact. I love this. The Knicks, the New York Knicks, God bless them, would host a playoff series if the season ended today. Season ends today. The Knicks aren't just in the playoffs. They're not just in the seven game, right? They're hosting a playoff series. Tom just made a I love face, and he shouldn't have yet, because I'm going to give the second part of the sentence that feels like where the Knicks have lived for a long time when things go well. But they're also just 2.5 games of the Celtics right now, who would be in the play-in tournament, and who had Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum crash into each other. Very scary moment. Tatum seems okay. Jaylen Brown may not be. The Nuggets beat the Clippers on Saturday. They're the number three seed by themselves, and they're 9-1 since Jamal Murray went down. And do you know why? Because of what we told you here on the show. I said this on the show, said it on CBS Sports HQ, had at least one colleague who thought that was dumb, as it was explained to me. Because Michael Porter Jr. could step. It's not the same position. It doesn't matter. It's a positionless league. It's about offensive output. Michael Porter Jr., proud product of the University of Missouri and Columbia, Missouri. 25.5 points on 57% shooting over that span, over those 10 games. Denver's good. And you have the Lakers, who are battling to not be in the play-in. Almost every game, not only are all but five teams still fighting for the playoffs, not only has tanking become a thing of the past, right? The games matter. They're interesting. They're meaningful. They're exciting. They feel like playoff games. Here are the Lakers. This is why LeBron's all angry, by the way. Would you like to know the Lakers' schedule after they play? They play Denver tonight. It's a big, big game. And I'll be on CBS Sports HQ late after the game. So probably around, you know, midnight to 1 a.m. Eastern time. And, you know, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. out here on the West Coast. So the Lakers have the Denver Nuggets. Then they play the Clippers. Then they play the Trailblazers. Then they play the Suns. Then they play the Knicks. L.A. could easily go 0-5 over those games, especially if LeBron can't play or plays when he shouldn't. And this is where you get into some real danger, because what are the Lakers going to do? This is why LeBron's all angry. this person should be fired. No, they shouldn't. But I get your anger. Because if LeBron's not healthy enough to play, and he sits out tonight, or he plays and doesn't go well, and then he sits out against the Clippers and the Lakers lose that one too, he might decide to play against Portland or the Suns when he shouldn't, and you risk aggravating or continuing, extending this level at which he's not 100%. He also said something that I thought was really interesting over the weekend. It's factually true, but I think it also signals something. I think he's shaping the narrative and being candid again the way that he shouldn't be. He said, I'm never going to be 100% again in my career. And what he would follow up with, right, what he would say, what guys would tell you is nobody's 100% ever after the first week. And that's true. I can't tell you how many times I've, like, been doing TV with former athletes. So I'm like, I just don't think he's 100%. No one's 100%. Gotcha. But I think what I think LeBron is really saying is I don't think I'm ever going to be 100% of what I tend to be in March and April and May. He has been a machine and a genius and ahead of the science, not just the physicality, of knowing where his body is and making sure it is in the right place physically for these runs in the postseason. And what he's telling you is not, I don't think my body is going to be 100% like it's never been for 20 years. I think he's telling you it is going to be different going forward for me physically, and I am dealing with that. He cannot will himself around this ankle injury. You know why? This is part of the deal with aging. Part of the way it goes. No, the person who came up with the plan should not be fired. It's actually, and I didn't like it. I didn't like it when it happened. I don't like change. I am not a fan of change. I have crazy wanderlust. I drive different ways to work and different ways home. I like changes of scenery. I eat at all kinds of different places, but I order the exact same thing at 3 of the restaurants I go to. The exact same thing. Hey, what's up, dude? There's a place called Uncle Bill's Pancake House in Manhattan Beach I used to eat at five days a week when I lived for the first time. And I would just show up, and they would just get me a table. I would sit down there and just bring me my food. 2 eggs over easy, hash browns, and rye toast with like a bottomless thing of coffee. That's not normal. I got it. I am not naturally built, for whatever reason, to like things like the play-in tournament. And it's taken me not even a season to realize, as with many things that involve change, I was wrong, and the instrument of that change was right. It's good for the NBA. It's fun. It's interesting. And it's going to get worse, by the way. This reality is going to, you know, worse as in better. Better as in worse for people like LeBron, because there's going to be more parity, more balance in the years ahead. You're going to have, you know, who's not really in the mix? Not the Pelicans. You're going to have teams that are really good, right? That have aspirations that they haven't met, but are still convincing themselves they can meet them in the playoffs. 6, 7, 8 seed, 9 seed teams that who are going to miss the postseason. And I mean not even being the 10. And then you're going to have 9 and 10 seeds that are going to get in, and they're going to beat a 7 or an 8. These games matter, and they're significant, and it's really good for the sport. There's 2 levels of control. It's about power. LeBron James doesn't have the power. He just doesn't, to change the way that the league operates. He has utter control over his organization. You know, why is that? Because the Lakers will do whatever it takes to make LeBron happy. The league is like, whatever. The other 29 teams are like, wait, you don't play for us. Please be pissed off. Please be angry. Please decide you want to go do Space Jam 7. You know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Same thing for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers knows what he's doing. Aaron Rodgers probably doesn't like 17 games. He has no control over that. He does have control over his organization's future. And we're going to circle back to that. A bunch of you called in earlier. Open the lines back up. 855-212-4CBS. Man in the middle here. The man who's really getting a raw deal. And by the way, that's his life, is Matt LaFleur. Think about this. I got a deal with Aaron Rodgers maybe leaving. What happens next and what A-Rod is really up to? And if you want to give your predictions or your desired destination for Aaron Rodgers, 855-212-4CBS. Let me say this before we get to the Aaron Rodgers conversation. Bill Ryder with you here on Ryder Than You. It's not personal. It's strictly business. It's usually interpreted, the Godfather line, as I don't hate you. I hope you won't be offended. It's just what it is. But it also means it's not morality. It's not friendship. It's not kindness. It's not decency. It's not what's okay. It's what I can do. The Michael Corleone put a bullet in the head of all, or the body, of all the other heads of the five families. And then took Carlo out front after telling him that, what am I going to do, make my sister a widow? And did, and watched, and didn't blink. Aaron Rodgers reminded you not only that it's not personal, it's strictly business. He's reminding you that isn't about right and wrong, it's about power. How the Packers missed that next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Happy Monday. Happy freaking Monday. Thanks for being here. 855-212-4CBS. Aaron Rodgers wants out. He's all mad. He's all angry. He's IKEA guy angry. You want me to stay here? You have to go in the quantum realm with Ant-Man. Bogus, missed that on two levels. Let's take a phone call or two. It's okay. Let's go out to all. Oh, this is our guy, top caller of the show when we did the program from 6 to 10 in the evenings. I just saw a little hand just like grab Bogus's shoulder. I think it's his son, but it looked like there might be a tiny thief just pulling him out of the picture, out of the frame. Greg in Lake Charles is our guy, and he's back. What's up, buddy? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call, as always, man. And I wanted to say, what's up, Who Dat Nation, man? A couple things I wanted to say. Last week I said Trey Lance about the vegan. No, I meant to say Justin Fields. Trey Lance, I just don't like the way he dressed. But other than that, I think the kid pretty good. But I feel like, man, Aaron Rodgers, if you think about it, the Saints, we have a lot to offer. We got a lot that we can give, the Packers in return. So, and I would give a first-round pick if I had to, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, everybody is going to be on here. Like, Aaron Rodgers can come here and come here. But we are a Super Bowl-ready team. So, in my opinion, I feel like he should be, get his agent, to start looking towards our way anyway. Thank you, man, as always, bro. You're my guy, bro.
Greg, you too, buddy. Appreciate you. Look, you're right. Greg said it. Every team's going to be like, here's why you should come here. I actually think New Orleans, if Aaron Rodgers were willing to expand the list of teams he's willing to go to beyond the three teams that are currently within flying distance of the West Coast and the sort of L.A. Hollywood scene, which are Denver, 2.5-hour flight, 3-hour, 2.5-hour flight, San Francisco, the Niners, hour and change, and the Raiders, 30 minutes. And in a private jet, it's like you or I driving to Walmart. Literally. It's so short. If he's willing to expand, I would put New Orleans high on the list. If you're the Rams, right? How pissed are you didn't know about this before you went and got Matt Stafford, by the way? Not that there's a guarantee that Rodgers is going to be dealt, but I think he will be. Can you imagine Rodgers in that brand new stadium, which I just drove by for the first time in a while? It's huge. With that coach and that window and that defense, that's the best defense in the NFL last year. They would be the favorites to win the Super Bowl. But anyway, that's not going to happen. I think New Orleans makes a ton of sense. Before they drafted Justin Fields, they would never. The only way that Aaron Rodgers could be traded to the Bears is if he pulled like a move, like the first time ever, where he got traded somewhere else with the understanding the next day they would then trade him to the Bears. Right? It would have to be like a Packers are not trading Aaron Rodgers in that division, especially to the Bears. That's like not only agreeing to let your wife leave you and take all the money, but driving her across the street to the good-looking guy's house and be like, yes, you should definitely be with him. Although that's a really terrible analogy because the Bears are the ugly guy who are bad at everything. But I think the Bears are a team that makes sense. It would never happen. I'm trying to think of teams on the fly outside of his. I mean, the Steelers would be interesting if Roethlisberger had retired, but he's still there. I don't think the Washington football team is at a place where that would make a ton of sense. Like, what is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers team where you slot A-Rod in? They're not just a contender because obviously if he's there, they're that. But they are, it turns out, one of the two or three best teams in the NFL. Who am I missing, Tom? Anybody?
Colts.
Colts. That is the one I'm missing.
They made the move for Wentz. It's the same situation as the Rams. You know, I don't think they thought this option would ever be on the table.
I mean, the thing is, the Rams gave up a ton, and Stafford's really good. So I don't, like, that ship has sailed. You can just move on from Wentz. Be like, oh, sorry, you got screwed. Like, see ya. Although there's a huge cap problem there. There's a huge contract issue. I love New Orleans. I think it'd be a great fit. By the way, if he goes to Denver, I think Denver's actually, I mean, Denver and the Raiders. I'm trying to figure out, like, what. Both of those, you have to play Mahomes twice a year. And Rodgers doesn't care. He thinks he's better than everybody. But that is only one of those teams win in the division. And you got to play the Chargers twice a year. If Herbert continues to make the progress I think most of us expect, the Niners would be such a great fit. But that Denver defense is going to be really, really, it is really good. It's going to be even better. Man, go get A-Rod. I like the idea of the Saints. The other thing is, he wants power, right? He wants to have control. And which of those organizations is most likely to give him what he wants? I think it's Denver. They have a history of bringing in quarterbacks, and they have an organization and a structure that doesn't have really any success without him in terms of that coaching staff and a brand new GM. It makes so much sense in terms of him getting exactly what he wants. I wanted to spend some time talking about Damian Lillard, and I don't know that we'll have the time that topic deserves. I do, though, before we get to that, want to play LaFleur, because we played Brian Gutekunst earlier in the show, the GM, and he sounded tortured and frustrated. If you're the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, think about how angry you have to be with your GM. And that, look, LaFleur was probably maybe involved in the Jordan Love decision. But again, it's about power. If he can act like he wasn't, if he can put that off on the GM, if he can say to Aaron Rodgers, Aaron, that was Brian, bro. I'm your guy. Then I think I can start to believe LaFleur when he says, as he did to the media. Remember, A-Rod timed this thing so that his head coach and his GM had to talk to the press about, in the fifth round, we've drafted Arnold Bogus from the University from Duke. What does Bogus bring to the table? We're going to talk about it. Any questions? What about Aaron Rodgers? That's the way it's going to go. Nobody cares. Nobody cares who's been drafted. These guys have to face the media, other than Arnold Bogus over here. And LaFleur was pretty, and I believe him, pretty honest that he can't even get his mind, he can't fathom this notion of trying to turn to Jordan Love and be like, let's go to the Super Bowl.
I can't fathom not being in Green Bay. So that's where my mind's at. I don't only love the player, but I love the person. I love working with him on a daily basis. I think we all do, from the players in that locker room to the coaching staff. And I don't even want to let my mind go there.
Yeah, you better. You're gonna have to, unlock, get out the skeleton key, and unlock a little bit, and just let your brain, let that gray matter soak in. Live without A-Rod, I think he's leaving. Unless he's just gonna get the GM fired and stay, I think he's gone. I think he's ready for a fresh start. I also don't think it's insignificant. I don't think it's the driving force. But he married a very successful, famous actress whose work is in Los Angeles, California. Right? That's just a reality. She's a working actress. She's going to be on sets on a regular basis. It's going to be just like Chris Paul in Phoenix can get back to his wife and kids more often. Aaron Rodgers, especially in Vegas or the Bay, but in Denver too, can get and see his fiance more often. Andrew Bogus, I love that Coach K clip of you. I think it's one of my favorite drops of all time. Would you like to hear it again?
I want to hear it all the time, of course.
Listen carefully. Arnold Bogus is as good a friend as I have, as I've ever had, I think.
The best part of that is that he didn't know who you were the next time you saw him. Yeah, it's me.
No, 100%.
It's Bogus.
No idea. Strangers. Who?
With what? A sh on the side. That's an I'll be quiet in your presence.
It's Arnold.
Funny, though. Pretty funny. All right, I got to go back to Iron Man. You watched Iron Man, the first one.
Yeah, no, Thor. I mean, I've seen Iron Man already, but Thor was what I finished the other day.
I'm trying to remember where you go from the movies being like, you know, good to great. I think you're like three or four away. What is next on the list?
That's a good question. I meant to look it up after we finished it yesterday, and I didn't. And we are watching these, which actually Disney Plus now lines up for you.
Yeah.
In two different orders. The one, the way they came out in the theater, and then the one, the way they line up in terms of actual chronology. And that's the way we're doing it. And I don't know which one is next. My fault on that. I can find out in a second for you.
If you're doing chronology, you should have watched Captain Marvel. Is that her name?
Yeah, the order is Captain America, which we watched. Captain Marvel, we had already seen. Then Iron Man, we already saw that. Iron Man 2, we watched again for fun. Okay. We skipped Incredible Hulk based on multiple people's suggestions. Don't even bother with that.
It would make you so angry you'd turn green. Yep, it's that bad.
Yeah. And then now Thor is the last one done. Next is the original Avengers movie.
Oh, then you're off and running. That's where it gets great. What's like two movies from now? Two and three movies from now?
So it's the Avengers, Iron Man 3, Thor Dark World, and then Winter Soldier.
All right, so I lied to you. Iron Man 3 and Dark World, you're just going to have to just, they're fine. Winter Soldier is one of the, it might be the single best Marvel movie. It's certainly one of the like seven or eight that are in contention. And there's several that are incredible. And then you're getting to Black Panther pretty soon, right? Next.
After Winter Soldier, the two Guardians of the Galaxy, which we've already seen and liked, so that's good. And then Age of Ultron would come after that, which we have not seen.
Age of Ultron? You've already seen, wait, you're like, I haven't seen it. You've seen half the films.
Yeah, we've seen this one, we saw that one, we saw that one. Haven't seen any of them, though, but we've seen like nine of them.
Yeah. Well, because I've seen them with my kids. I would have not watched them to begin with on my own, but Guardians of the Galaxy, they wanted to watch the first one. We watched it. It was good, so we watched the second one.
Do you ever go to a fancy restaurant in L.A. with your buddy, and they put you at the worst table, and you get mad, and then you look at everyone there and how they're dressed, and then you realize how you dress, and you realize this tracks. I'm glad they just let me in. Did that ever happen to you?
Yeah.
Me too. On Saturday. Thanks, Pavel. All right, let's do an update here. Yeah, I guess I should dress better.
You mentioned this earlier in the hour. The top spot in each conference in the NBA changed hands yesterday.
Thought about taking the jumper. Instead, gave it up to Šarić, who sets a screen for Booker. Right wing three on the way. Good for D-Book. He's got 30.
That's John Bloom, Suns Radio. D-Book, Devin Booker finished with 32 as Phoenix held off the Thunder 123-120. The Suns now atop the West thanks to a tiebreaker with the Jazz, while the Sixers have a half-game lead on the Nets because Brooklyn lost in Milwaukee yesterday afternoon. Then Philly won in San Antonio 113-111 in OT on a Ben Simmons putback at the buzzer. LeBron tried to fire that dude after a 121-114 home loss to the Raptors last night. He spent the final 6-plus minutes on the bench because of soreness in the ankle that kept him out so long. The Celtics losing to the Blazers 129-119, and the Heat beat the Hornets 121-111. Miami now leads Boston by a game for 6th in the East. The Knicks have a game-and-a-half lead on the Hawks for 4th in the East after dumping the Rockets 122-97. New York has won 11 of 12. Today is the deadline for NFL teams to pick up the 2022 options on first-round picks from 2018. It's reportedly not happening for Falcons tight end Hayden Hurst or Titans linebacker Rashawn Evans. The Hurst decision, not a surprise, after they drafted Kyle Pitts. Drew Rosenhaus says the Titans want to sign Evans to a different deal. A tying 3-run homer, bottom nine, downgraded to a 2-run double by replay, so the Mets hung on for an 8-7 win in Philly last night. Pete Alonso hopes it's the start of something good.
I don't know if that's a season-defining game tonight, but it's definitely a momentum shifter. And I think that we did get the ball rolling in a very positive
Alonso's
direction.
Alonso's 3-run double capped the Mets' 6-run 8th. Dodgers righty Dustin May is getting an MRI today after leaving his last start with a shooting pain in his arm. May went on the IL yesterday. White Sox outfielder Luis Robert on the IL as well. He has a right hip flexor strain. He got that running to first in yesterday's 5-0 loss to Cleveland. And Northwestern has officially promoted Mike Polinsky to athletic director, replacing Jim Phillips, who is now the ACC commissioner. Polinsky has been their deputy AD for external affairs for the last decade or so. Bill, back to you.
Bogus, thank you. By the way, Bogus, if you see Stuart Kovacs in the office, can you mean mug him from me for having the audacity, the temerity to beat me in fantasy? I'm very upset. It's the first L. It's not cool. I'm tired of this club-hopping, womanizing producer taking down Biz Elders in fantasy baseball. It's not cool.
Stu should know better, and I will definitely, if I have the opportunity. In fact, I'll just text him right now. I'll give him a talking to.
Please do. Thank you, Andrew Bogus, known to Coach K as Arnold Bogus. His little alias over there. That's a little special. Oh, Coach K, you're a card. Let's do buy or sell next here on CBS Sports Radio.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, Bill, so the latest development in this Aaron Rodgers versus the Packers drama happened in the last hour. Ian Rappaport tweeted out, quote, "The draft is the ultimate what if. In 2020, Packers GM Brian Gutekunst targeted a wide receiver. He tried to trade up for LSU wide receiver Justin Jefferson, only to see Minnesota take him. He watched the 49ers trade up for ASU wide receiver Brandon Ayuk, another target. Then Green Bay moved up to select Jordan Love." End quote. Buy or sell, this tweet was authored by Brian Gutekunst.
I'll buy it.
Buy.
Real transparent. And probably does more damage because it does, as I think you texted, Tom. It reeks of such desperation that the only outside chance that I think Gutekunst has of keeping his job and Aaron Rodgers is strength and not weakness. Because Aaron Rodgers is going to feel it, sense it, and attack it. Man, it is amazing to me how ham-fisted folks who don't know how to work the media can be when they desperately try to work the media.
Speaking on Bleacher Report's streaming coverage of the draft this weekend, Robert Griffin III reflected on his early days adapting to the Shanahan system in Washington as a rookie and then offered an interesting tidbit about his personal interest in Trey Lance's development.
One time, Mike sat me down and had a 20-word play ready for me in the first practice, and they just sat there and wanted to see if I could spit out every single one of those words and then actually go run the play against a defense led by London Fletcher, one of the best linebackers ever. So I'm excited for him. I think it'll be great. And to be honest with you, I don't think they have a guy on the roster that would be better situated than myself to come in and mentor the kid. So who knows? Maybe there's a reunion in store with the Shanahans.
Griffin is currently a free agent after spending the last three seasons with the Ravens. Buy or sell, the Niners should sign RG3 purely in the interest of Trey Lance's development.
Awesome.
Sell.
With all respect to RG3, I don't know that there's a history of mentorship that I would buy. And I don't want to disparage the guy, but I've been around the guy several times at Super Bowls, right, and stuff like that. He's I like him a lot, but he's kind of an unusual dude, right? He's almost he's an introvert. I mean, he does not strike me as the guy who's going to come in and mentor Trey Lance. With all respect to their relationship and his rooting for that young quarterback, if you're Kyle Shanahan, you want to be the person who is grooming and growing and mentoring your quarterback, not a guy that didn't make it.
Max Scherzer made it look easy yesterday, blowing away the Marlins in a five-hit complete game performance as the Nationals notch a 3-1 win. Turns out Scherzer had more important places to be, i.e. a delivery room where his wife is about to give birth to their third child. Manager Dave Martinez said after the game, after alerting the media to the full context of the situation, quote, "He had 23 of 31 first pitch strikes as a starting pitcher. That's what you got to do," end quote. Buy or sell, the thought of rushing to his wife actually did impact Scherzer's aggressive approach on the mound yesterday.
I thought about it.
Buy.
Because, you know, the Inner Book of Tennis will tell you that the best way to perform at a high level is not to think about your performance and just do it basically on instinct. And I can't think of anything else in life that would basically make you, not care is the wrong term, but be sort of like, whatever, I'm just going to go do this, than trying to get to your wife as she's giving birth to your child.
The Giants beat the Padres yesterday to avoid a weekend sweep and improve to 17-11, matching their best record through 28 games in the last 15 seasons. The other two times the Giants started 17-11 in the last 15 years, they ultimately wound up winning the World Series. That's in 2010 and 2014. San Francisco currently leads the most competitive division in baseball by a half game over the Dodgers, and their solid start has come as something of a surprise. For example, Baseball Prospectus's Pacoda standings predictions before the season thought the Giants would finish fourth with a 77-85 record. Buy or sell, San Francisco will hang with the Dodgers at the top of the NL West through at least the All-Star break.
I'll buy it. I mean, the Dodgers haven't played. They played well. They just haven't won games. And I think the Dustin May injury is really significant. Over the weekend, Dustin May felt a shooting pain down his arm in the second inning, and he left. And he is, as Alana Rizzo told us, an ace caliber pitcher. And that's a big loss. Combined with the fact that I think the GM, I think he's president of baseball operations, Farhan Zaidi, is a really impressive guy. And so when he puts together something that looks like it's an illusion, I'm a lot more willing to believe with him at the helm that it's real, that it's substantive, than I might with some other folks.
So we've discussed the Lakers' struggles quite a bit today. Los Angeles has lost six of their last seven to fall all the way back to a tie with Portland for the number six seed in the West. Tonight they face one of the league's hottest teams in the Denver Nuggets, who won nine of their last ten and are suddenly getting outstanding performances on a nightly basis from Michael Porter Jr. Unsurprisingly, Denver is favored by 3.5 points for the game in Staples Center. Buy or sell, the Lakers at least play the Nuggets close enough to cover that 3.5. They play them within one possession tonight.
Oh, I'll sell. I think.
Sell.
I think the wheels are coming off. I think Schroeder's absence and injury, not injury, his safety protocols and health protocols is highly problematic. They don't have depth. I think if you're betting, right, which is what this is about, I don't think you can bet on LeBron James being spry enough to be able to impact the game with maybe the hottest team in the NBA.
All right, the breakthrough of your Phoenix Suns continued strong this weekend. First, they knocked off the Jazz on Friday to claim the top seed in the West. Utah got it back with a win on Saturday, but last night Phoenix broke their own 16-game losing streak in OKC to beat the Thunder, and in the process reclaim that top spot. According to ESPN, Phoenix hadn't won in Oklahoma City since December 19th, 2010. The Suns and Jazz now have identical records, but due to Phoenix's season sweep of Utah, they have a lockdown on the tiebreaker with 8 games left to play. Buy or sell, the Suns will begin the playoffs as the West number one seed.
Yes, I buy. I think they will.
Buy!
And I'm on an island here. I think they are as likely as any team in the Western Conference to make the NBA Finals. I also think, you know, you don't even remotely take a team over the field. But I think the Clippers have lots of question marks because of their performance last year and Paul George. I think the Lakers have massive question marks because of where they may play in the play-in and the health of LeBron and durability of and just excellence because of the lack of durability of Anthony Davis. I think Denver is probably another team you can make a case for, but they're not as good defensively as the Suns are, right? I think the thing's wide open, but not only will Phoenix be the one seed, I think along with several teams, they have a real chance.
The 2021 NFL draft may be over, but that just means it's time to start thinking about the 2022 NFL draft. Adam Schefter at least thinks so. He tweeted out this morning that the 2022 draft will be held from April 28th to 30th next year in Las Vegas. Buy or sell, Vegas will end up being the most fun draft destination since the NFL left the friendly confines of Radio City Music Hall in 2015.
The moment you said that, I'm going to buy. Aggressively buy. As you were reading that, I didn't know that. I missed that. My thought was I'm gonna go. Like I was, you were like I'm gonna go. Should I book the reservation today?
Bye.
Should I let my brother, who gambles so much and so successfully, he just gets comped luxury suite? Should I just
buy
him to go there instead and sleep on the couch for free? That's the move.
Bye.
It'll be amazing. Vegas is amazing. It's funny. I was thinking about Vegas this weekend as because I'm vaccinated. And people are starting to go out. And it's interesting because I'm a mask wearer and I think masks should be worn. But the CDC has new guidelines that they're not necessary in certain situations outside if you've been vaccinated. The problem becomes, do you trust people to be honest about it? I'm still wearing a mask just to try to create the idea that people should wear them. But I certainly got to see some normalcy this weekend in a way that I have not experienced. And my best friend was in town. I hadn't seen him in 2 years. But I got to go out, went to restaurants, it was new. And as soon as I realized this is what's coming, right? A month, 5 months, whenever it is, Vegas is what popped in my brain. It is a magical, beautiful place, and I'm going to spend, Tom, a lot of time there before I spend time there for the draft next year.
Bye.
Buy or sell, the NFL's decision to move the draft around the country has been an all-around success so far.
Here's why I think it's a really good idea.
Bye.
I do. I think one of the things the NFL doesn't get enough credit for is its relevance all over the country and its ability to connect in a very visceral way with fan bases all over the place. And I bring this up all the time. I pick on the Yankees, but not just the Yankees. The Yankees are super relevant in New York and successful, and the Dodgers are super relevant and successful in LA and the Giants again in San Francisco and the Red Sox again in Boston. But all these markets all over the country where I've lived and where I'm from just don't care about baseball at times because their teams don't matter. The NFL understands that, and parity is the main thing. But just taking the draft to different places connects with different fan bases, right? If you live in, I don't know, Indianapolis, and the draft goes there, you can take your kid. You live in Chicago, right? And the Bears have been bad for so long, but you take your kid to the draft. Super cool. I think it's a great idea.
And we'll finish here. According to Fanatics' tracking of officially licensed sports gear, Tom Brady has helped the Bucs go from number 28 in NFL team sales in 2019 to number one last year, a 1,200% year-over-year increase, the biggest single-year increase for any NFL team since Fanatics has been tracking these things. Buy or sell, the Bucs will repeat as the most popular NFL uniform again this season.
I'm going to sell that. I'm going to say
sell
that those who have bought those jerseys have those jerseys and they're good. And there's going to either be a Mahomes resurgence or more likely just a stupid number of Aaron Rodgers Niners, Aaron Rodgers Raiders, Aaron Rodgers Broncos jerseys sold. I mean, can you imagine how many Rodgers Raiders jerseys or Niners jerseys you're going to see all over the West Coast and the rest of the country after Gutekunst gets fired and then Rodgers still demands a trade or whatever? Wherever this ugly, ugly thing is going, it's going to be absolutely incredible. All right, Tom, let me ask you a question. You're a Jets fan. You love the NFL draft. You watch tape on players. Buy or sell your New York Jets 2021 NFL draft.
Buy.
I'll give them a buy, but I'm not thrilled. I think they did well in the beginning. You know, I can't really complain with picking the quarterback and then a guard to protect him. Michael Carter, the running back they picked up, is a, you know, the type of player that the Jets haven't had, like a big play threat at running back, a really blow the top off the defense type of player.
Yeah, fourth round.
Fourth round. But then you're going to just go through in the fifth round and just take a bunch of questionable safety and cornerbacks, secondary players. I know that it's in position of need, but they kind of nuked the need, and I don't think they got the most value out of those picks. It looked very familiar to me as a Jets fan to every other day three of every other Jets draft where they kind of set picks on fire. I think they did do that again this year.
Buy or sell, as Axios put it, Kendall Baker put it, that having drafted Michael Carter and then Michael Carter, another Michael Carter, that the Jets should convince Michael Carter Williams of NBA fame to switch sports.
Buy.
You got three Michael Carter.
Sure, we could use another tall target. If you can play tight end, that'd be great.
Probably could. Tom Vandetto, producer, underscore Tom. Fun Monday show. Good show. Good stuff. Appreciate you. Thank you for hanging out. Thank you to Andrew Bogus as well. My name is Bill Ryder. The show is Ryder Than You. We're here these 2 hours every weekday. We're back at it again tomorrow. And we hope you'll be back hanging out here on CBS Sports Radio. Have a great rest of your day.